live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we're talking about one of the most important aspects of relationships, and that is communication. This episode will be relevant to everyone in a relationship, whether you're currently long distance, closing the distance, have never been long distance, married, been together forever, whatever. I think it's something that we both agree on, that to have a smooth, healthy relationship, you have got to work out the communication, right?
Right.
So, firstly, I think we just want to talk about why having that communication open and not perfected, but, you know, working on it is really important and what difference it can make to your relationship. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, babe?
Because it makes both your lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in a relationship to intentionally upset either one of you. And presumably you want your life to be as smooth as possible. So good communication just makes that possible all around. You've mentioned before about how good communication is about, you know, it's about, or relationships are about saying what you need to say in a way they can hear it. And
yeah.
We mentioned about how if one comes from different backgrounds and experiences that have formulated how you like to be spoken to, what irritates you, what's the best way. And, you know, so that's, it's not something you can really know from the outset. So I think you've got your honeymoon period where everything's fantastic. Then you've got the period where you have your first arguments. And that's probably where you start to figure out that, oh, I didn't say anything wrong. Especially nowadays with text as well. And then you, hopefully, if you stick with it, start to learn, well, okay, that annoyed them last time because I phrased it this way.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, you mentioned the honeymoon period, and that's really important because you might think when you're first with this person, oh, we get along great, we never argue, da da da. And then as things progress and your lives intertwine a little bit more, you have more stressful things affecting you. You might think, oh God, why aren't we getting along suddenly? And it's like, well, now you have things to figure out together. You might have bills, you might have, you know, whatever it is that's causing stress that you need to communicate about. I think it's important to remember that that doesn't mean that necessarily that the honeymoon period is over or that you're not the same couple you were. There's just other things to contend with. But if you can communicate effectively, that's going to be play a big part. And I think I want to mention something that you brought up this week. And firstly, I just have to say, like, disclaimer, not all men are as evolved, like, emotionally as my husband is. And I'm really, really lucky for that. I think men can be. But he is, you know, we talk about intent a lot, and not just in our relationship. He's a very, he's a person who's really focused on intention in life. And this week he messaged me. I was up at a conference for work and checked, you know, my messages during a break. And he said, oh, I was listening to, who is it? Mr. Money Mustache.
I was reading his blog.
Mr. Money Mustache. Is that what he's called?
Yeah.
So he gives like, is it like finance advice? I've never really looked at it as much as you do.
He's an early retiree, retired at 30, so his whole blog is about how you can, basically how you're just inefficient with money. And
so how you can be better with money and how you can retire. Better with money, yeah.
And then if you have the goal of retiring early, it's like a lifestyle blog,
yeah,
around money.
And that's something that we would like to try and do, retire early, not obviously in our 30s, we won't make that. But, you know, we want the flexibility of spending time in America and here. Anyway, so that's a blog that's of interest to Rich. And this week he messaged me and he said, oh, I was reading one of Mr. Money Mustache's blogs and he's recently gone through a divorce. And he was saying how he thinks part of it is because he and his wife never really had a conversation about what they wanted their marriage to look at and they would look like, sorry. And they were just going through the motions and reacting to the situations of life. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. First I thought, is there something you're not telling me? Are you ready for a divorce? And we need to have these talks. But obviously I didn't really think that. But I thought that was great. I mean, that's another way for us to communicate. I think we're pretty good at communication. We're not perfect. We snap at each other. We don't always say things the way we mean them, and then things get, you know, misinterpreted, and it's not great, but...
Well, the point of it was, So the article was talking about generally, and like a marketing thing really, you start with the end goal. You said, this is what I want. And then you can buy into it and other people can buy into it. And you know what you're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the divorce came into that. And he said that they didn't say, we didn't know what our marriage was supposed to look like. We didn't know what we wanted to happen in 10, 20, mm-hmm. 30 years. I don't think you need to have it all mapped out, but I just thought it was interesting. So I thought it just ensures you're on the same page. When you hear, I think we need to do an episode about money and things like that soon. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of couples don't talk about it, or like I hear an alarming amount as well, even in real life, people who, oh, my partner doesn't know what I earn, and they don't know how many credit cards we've got, and don't know how much debt we've got, and yeah, I can't imagine that either. But it's just about saying we're on the same page, and you know, you got the notorious midlife crisis. You don't want to turn around when you're 45, 50 and go, oh my God, this isn't where I want to be. Because
mm-hmm.
you would have been consciously working towards it and you would have been shaping your life to be the way you wanted it to be. So hopefully by the time you get to 45, 50 and beyond, you're in a good place because you're either where you wanted to be or you're working towards where you want to be.
Yeah.
Rather than just sort of, yeah, going through the motions, reacting. Because we were talking about this, you know, you do react a lot in marriage. It's, oh, this unexpected bill is coming through, or we need to go and see that person. And it's all just about this thing has popped up out of the blue that we need to deal with, rather than, you know, intention. And things like having, speaking of money, you know, an emergency fund, so when something breaks, the money's on hand. And then you haven't got to react so much to it. That helps. But have control over your diaries and your itineraries and...
I think we're getting away from the communication aspect of this.
No, I think that's all part of it. You're talking about we want to have X amount of money in the bank for when, in our case, the garage roof sprung a leak. You're talking about how we want to do these things together on the weekend. Like we were talking about having, well, we're big proponents of date night. It's communication at every level.
Yeah, but I was just trying to get to the point of what I appreciated about that was, you know, you were thinking, you know, as a man who in many cases, men can be stereotyped as not as good at communicating in relationships as women are. And you brought that up and you wanted to do it. So we said, great, Saturday night, we will, you know, make it a bit of a date night. We'll either go out or, you know, get takeaway or whatever. So last night, we had a really busy day yesterday, but we sat down at the end of the day, we ordered pizza and had some dessert. And we just talked through, you know, what we want things to look like, how many holidays we want to have a year, you know, kind of how much we want tucked aside money-wise in terms of rainy day, but also, you know, I want to see this in terms of communication. I want to see this in terms of the time we spend together being more valuable and less time on our phones or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't have to be only when you're fighting or whatever that your communication needs to be on par. You know, the better your communication is throughout your relationship, the less likely you're going to have to figure out how to navigate through an argument because...
But then at the same time, the arguments help you know what they want. And I think empathy is really important for this because if you think we all get defensive, so if you think I wanted them to be more mindful of how I react to this and that, like put yourself in their shoes, it's the same situation. It's what did I say that caused them to do that? Or have a debrief once you've made up. You know, if you have an argument and then once you've calmed down and made up, just say, what did I say that... Well, they might say it was not what you said, it was the tone, it was...
And you, the unfortunate thing is you have to be really careful with timing. I mean, I know that I've tried to do that with you and probably didn't wait long enough because it just came into another, well, you effing did this and you effing did that.
Yeah, wait till you've...
Yeah, it needs to be an adequate time.
But reflect. Don't just have an argument. And I think a lot of people tiptoe around it. So, well, I don't want to go over it because we'll argue about it again. Like, don't argue about it again. Don't talk about the subject necessarily, but you can just say, what did I say? How did I say it? Maybe it was, well, you interrupted me. Maybe it was you took a tone. Maybe you shouted. Maybe you started swearing in the... It could be anything. You say, okay, fine. Well, I wasn't angry, but I swore and that irritated you. And we've had this. So either the conversation is, I need to understand that you swearing isn't a bad thing, or I need to understand that I shouldn't swear. You know, it's just a learning process.
It is.
So that's on the argument side of things. It's a learning process. But treat each argument as a learning opportunity. So when you've had one, reflect on it. And over time, you'll just start to know, okay, well, every time I do that, it annoys them.
Yeah, and I think the other thing...
It's also about listening.
It is.
Like, outside of arguments, when you're having a normal conversation, and we all drop into normal conversation, I don't like this, and I like that. Remember that. Those are little insights into how not to have an argument.
Well, listening, you know, when your partner comes home or they're complaining about a day at work, if something, someone said something that triggered them, pay attention to what that was.
Yeah, like insecurities and things are a big part of it.
Or big pet peeves, like, you know, he said this, or, you know, whatever. I really wanted to say something and I've forgotten because I couldn't get to it.
Okay, well, you'll come back to it.
I can't remember what it was. Oh, episode 20, when we had Sam and Jared on. Jared said something which we've mentioned again, and we had a quote post up about it a couple weeks ago. Jared was talking about kind of communication and how things can get difficult when you're long distance, but this isn't necessarily specific to that. But what he said was his mom, who was a psychiatrist that was involved in creating the LDR activity book with them, said you should always assume good intent. Now, that's really hard to do when you're in the throes of an argument, especially when people get fired up and triggered and upset. You know, you can't stop and think, wait a minute, this person loves me, they're telling me this because something's bothering them or whatever. But if you can figure out how to do that, it's really good. And especially the problem with that is when someone tells you something, sure, okay, it might be coming from a completely neutral place or a place of good intent. When things get fired up and twisted and words get spat out, they do not sound like they are coming with good intent. And I think that's where communication gets really, really tricky. For instance, we've had arguments where you've said something just off the cuff, offhand, whatever, and I've taken it way too to heart. Now, you probably didn't have good intent with that comment, but your intent is never to hurt me. You know, like, sometimes you're upset, you're annoyed, whatever, and you need to say something, get something off your chest or whatever it is. So I think that's another important thing, is remembering, unless you're really, really deep in a really bad fight, you don't want to upset each other. Sure, we've gotten to points, and I know I do, you know, I've gotten to the point where I say something just because you've pissed me off so much, I don't care, I want to make you more mad, which is not going to achieve anything. But when you're really upset, those things do happen.
I think also, it's about learning to pick your battles too.
Absolutely.
Like, I know in sort of days gone by, we wouldn't have let anything slide.
No.
And we had the arguments to prove it. Mm. And now one of us will say something and you bite your tongue.
And you know.
Who knows?
Well, like...
Well, it's not about knowing. It's about the fact you bite your tongue so that it's not worth the argument. Like, everyone has those moments. So it's like, okay, well, whichever one of us will be the bigger person in the moment. And then maybe you'll come back to later on. Maybe the other one will apologise or say, oh, thanks for not reacting to that. Like, we've done that. We'll say, yeah, thanks for not reacting to that. I was just...
venting or something.
Yeah, whatever. Like, the thing is, it's not even necessarily to do with the relationship. It's like you said, something happens at work, someone said something to you, you carry that with you.
Yeah.
Someone was bad driving mood. Badly on the road and, you know, you carry it with you and then you take it out on the person who you can. So, yeah, pick your battles, rise above it.
Yeah.
Not and everything has to be, just because they're a learning opportunity doesn't mean always take the opportunity to have
gosh,
one.
I mean, we would exhaust ourselves, and like you said, in days gone by with, it was almost like because we had a differing opinion, we had to share it. Like,
yeah.
But you don't always have to. I mean, there's times when you might say something that I think is a very silly idea or I don't agree with at all, and I literally just won't say a word.
I don't feel like that's true.
Well, you...
You never let it go and you don't agree with
no,
it.
No, I do. Not if it's really... If I feel like I really need to say something, but sometimes you might come up with an idea like, oh yeah, we should do that. And I think that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I just kind of keep quiet and go, oh, look at that. Or, you know, whatever, if we're out and about. But there are times when I don't say a word.
Yeah.
And, you know, you probably realize, oh, she probably doesn't like that. She didn't say anything. But there's nothing for you to then react to because I've not done anything. So the conversation comes up, like you said, at a later time when maybe I don't feel as like, oh, that was dumb or whatever, you know. But yeah, choosing your battles is a huge part of it. And you do learn, like, you know, like you learn how to talk to the person, what's going to trigger them. You also learn what you can deal with and what you can sit with and what you don't need to bring up as an issue. you know, I've said before that the tricky thing that I still once in a while struggle with about being, you know, in a committed relationship, a marriage, is that suddenly, it's not just me that I'm thinking, well, not suddenly, it's been going on for a long time, but it's still hard to get used to that, you know, every decision I make that it's going to come to the home affects you. Obviously, if I'm out in the day, whatever I'm doing, it's just to me and that doesn't affect you and that's fine. I can do whatever I want. But it can be tricky when you just want to do something or eat a certain meal that the other person doesn't like. And then suddenly it's all this and it can just get all twisted up and make things very difficult. But when it comes down to communication, you can't just spout out, blah, whatever you want to say. You do have to think about how that's going to affect the other person. I think we've said it before, you know, you're, as much as people like to say, oh, you know, no one's responsible for someone else's happiness, you kind of are when you're in a committed relationship.
You can certainly be responsible for their unhappiness.
Yeah. It's not your job to ensure they are happy. Like, I have anxiety and depression issues. It is not your job to always battle that. That comes down to me and needing to take responsibility to that for that. But you do have a responsibility to be sensitive and take that into consideration.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think communication can be really, really powerful and a great tool for you, or it can be a weapon if you do it badly in a relationship. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any tips in terms of how to make sure that things don't get ugly, or how to kind of start that first step towards repairing or just building up a good foundation for communication?
I think empathy is the big thing, because one, that allows you beforehand to think, like, say, especially if you're doing things by text, you've got the time to think how they're going to react if I send this as it is.
But is text always the best thing?
I'm saying in the situations where there's text, you have the time that you don't have in a verbal argument, because in a verbal argument it's just so reactive. But you can just take a second to think, how are they going to react if I send this? But then empathy also allows you after to think what you did wrong, why they felt that way, why they reacted that way. Because if you have the view the whole time that this is all because of them, fuck them, I'm going to wait for them to come and apologise to me, it's just a victim mentality, and it doesn't matter what relationship you're in with that person or the next, you're always going to bump into that because you're the problem.
Yeah, whether it's a friend or a family member or whatever.
But even if you just go, oh, you know, this relationship's not working out, we keep arguing, that person's always going to have that problem because they're projecting everything onto the person.
Yeah.
So you need to say, what did I do wrong? What could I do differently next time? What made them react to that? So empathy is just a huge thing for me. But then have the conversation calmly to ask them. It's one thing to reflect on your own time, but also say to them specifically, like, what upset you?
Yeah.
What did I say that caused that? At what point in the argument did you feel like it went from a disagreement to an argument? There's always that point. And just learn about each other.
Yeah. I think acknowledgement is another huge part that kind of ties in with that. The empathy and acknowledging that very rarely is an argument all one person's fault. Someone may have kicked it off and started it, but you've reacted in such a way that it's become, you know, an argument as well.
I never make them feel like they don't have the right to be upset about something.
Yeah, that's really hard, and I think, you know, we don't have this so much now, but, you know, you talked about in days gone by when we argued a lot more. You know, at that time, you've come a long way, but you were not very capable of apologizing for things like that, for an argument, and the part that you played in it. Which isn't to say you couldn't apologize in other areas of life.
It's not just about the part anyone played in it. It's just about saying, well, because even if they took it wrong, you can say, okay, well, I can understand, you know, you still had the right to feel that way if that's what you thought had happened. It's not what I meant, but you took it that way, and I can see why that would upset you. Like, don't make them feel like it's invalid.
Yeah, no, but all I'm saying is that some people find it really difficult to apologize, and I don't...
I know, but I'm saying this isn't about the apology. This is about just them... make them feel like they shouldn't feel well a certain way.
I know, but
an apology is a separate thing to that.
But I'm talking about acknowledgement, acknowledging the fault you've had in the... in the communication that's come to an argument or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying as part of that is if you can admit to yourself that, okay, I shouldn't have said that, or okay, maybe you didn't even start the argument, maybe it wasn't really, when it comes down to it, your quote-unquote fault, but, you know, if you've reacted in a way that's upset someone else or whatever, you have played some, like I'm saying, you've played some role in this. It's partially your quote-unquote fault that this situation has escalated to what it is. Like, and so I know that you in the past have struggled with that. My best friend says she cannot apologize. She'll be sitting there thinking, God, I am such a bitch. I was so wrong, but I can't apologize. I can't do it. And I don't know if that's, you know, like, saving face, or it's can't, it's a vulnerable...
Well, pride can be such a, like...
Pride, vulnerability. Thing. Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think I probably fly off the handle a lot more than you in terms of what I say during an argument, but I can come back without too much time passing and be like, look, I'm really sorry. That, not that it undoes it, but these things are going to happen, and you have to be able to apologize for the part that you played in the argument. Really.
Yeah.
So acknowledging that and taking ownership is really important. But I think something else I wanted to touch on, or that we should touch on, is, okay, so we've talked about being empathetic, acknowledging the faults, or acknowledging the part that you've played in an argument, but how can you really communicate on a day-to-day basis so that these things are less likely to happen? And just to make, and not even about avoiding arguments, but just, I don't know, communication allows and offers so much.
I think couples should have, like, meetings.
Mm.
Like, we've had money meetings in the past, and then, like you said, yesterday we had this talk about our marriage going forward. And, I think everyone's so scared to make anything feel too formal, or if it was like a business, but, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in an agreement that you want to last, you know, potentially a lifetime.
Businesses can't get by for a week without having meetings.
There are things to talk about. It doesn't have to be overly formal. Like you said, we ordered dinner, we sat pizza, on the couch, yeah, and we just talked about things. But just have a conversation and just say, what don't you like? What? And this can happen before an argument has taken place. Just say, what do you want me to be mindful of
at the moment, or
At the moment, or just your personality in general. You know. Because it can, you know, if someone's gone through trauma, even like, oh, this event happened at a certain time of year, they may be more sensitive around
at that time of year. Again,
that time of year, it comes, you know, yeah. It can be anything. But when you don't know that information, you just think every day is the same as the last one, and all of a sudden you're being a bitch today,
mm-hmm.
and you know there could be something going on. But just ask the questions and then know in advance, and then. Yeah, it won't stop every argument, but you can think, oh, shit, yeah, it's this time of year, I'll be a bit mindful, or you have the argument, and after you can think, oh, you know, I just remembered this is that time of year. It can be anything. That's just one example, but it won't stop the arguments, but you can be a better person for it,
yeah,
and a better partner for it.
I read somewhere, it was some marriage page on Facebook, and it was a really long time ago, and it's always stuck with me. I've never actually acted on it, but I think that it, you know, I'm thinking of it now that we're talking through all of this now. This is something like, each day, just ask your partner, is there anything I can do for you today? And that opens up communication lines. It might be like, I'm so stressed out at work, this is really bothering me, if you could just stop and get this on the way home, or if you could drop the kids, whatever it is. It opens that up in such a way. You know, sometimes it can feel, not like an attack, but maybe you're not ready to be vulnerable when someone says, what's up with you lately? You don't seem yourself, or you're acting really snappy. What's going on? You can feel like you're not ready to explain that.
Well, yeah,
I think you
can ask the same question multiple ways.
Yeah.
And the accusing way is rarely the right way.
No.
I mean, we do it, but like you said, sometimes you just think, oh, I don't give a fuck today. But if you're being objective about it, you know,
that, like,
I've noticed that you seem to be
run down, whatever.
Well, you just seem to be a little bit snappier today. Is there something bothering you compared to what the fuck is wrong with you today?
Mm-hmm.
Which we still do. But, you know, you, there's more than one way of getting there. And that comes back to that mindfulness. And some of that's not experience. Some of that's just common sense.
Yeah.
But there is some experience in there, and knowing how they want to, the best way to phrase that question will perhaps depend on the person, which is experience and mindfulness. But
yeah, but a great way to get started on that is to just say, hey, is there anything you need, what can I do today to help you?
Yeah.
That might
And again, and those sort of having relationship meetings will help bring that up, because depending on how often they are, I mean, I don't imagine every week
is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, it may be, but maybe every 2 weeks or maybe every month, and then you might think, oh yeah, this is going on at work lately, or this is coming up at work, so next week I may be a little bit distracted, or whatever's bothering you. Maybe I've not been feeling well the past week, and but it's just it's an opportunity for both of you to come to that table.
Yeah, and then I think it's also important to remember that communication isn't only verbal. The things you do for your partner, the things that you, you know, the little actions are really important to know, like, oh, they were thinking of me, they know that. So like,
but even in the moment of, it's not the words you say, like you said, it's how you're standing, how you're, have you got a look on your face, are you looking distracted?
Body language, yeah.
All the things that the words come out of your mouth might be quite nice, but everything else you're telling me is you don't care.
Yeah, I mean, but not necessarily even that in the midst of an argument, but just in general.
No, I don't mean in an argument.
Oh.
This could be just generally, but, well, like, we've had this, where I'll be talking to you, and then you'll just stop and open post, and that used to really, really piss me off, because I think, well, clearly you're not interested in what I'm saying. Things like that.
Women try to multitask, unfortunately.
But it's things like that where it's, that's not an argument, there's nothing bad going on.
No, and it's, obviously my intent wasn't, I was still listening, I was just doing something else, but at that time you wanted my undivided attention, and I should have respected that.
Well, it's not even that I wanted your undivided attention, but the message it sends is, I'm not engaged in this conversation.
What I was going to mention, though, in particular, was this past week, you had band practice after work, and you had to stay late at work, and you were running really short on time, so you said, like, oh, you were texting me questions, and I was, you know, sitting in traffic on my way home from work, too, and I could just, can't remember what you were saying, but I could get the, you were stressed, you were worried about getting home in time, having time to eat dinner before you got off to band, and I said, do you want me to do anything, and you said, well, if you could get dinner started, that would be great, and I said, that's fine. I got home with enough time before you that I didn't really need to start dinner straight away, so I thought, oh, I know he has to load up his car with all of his band stuff, so I put his guitar, put his amp and pedals and all that. I got everything out into the hallway so that all he had to do was dump it in the back of his car when he got home. And, you know, I did that intentionally because I knew it would help you save time, but I also wanted you to know, like, hey, I know you're stressed, and I want you to know that I'm trying to think of other ways I can help you with that. And you got home, a minute came in, thanks for putting my stuff out there, that was really sweet.
Yeah, I noticed it straight away, you know, and it's nice. Yeah, the little gestures like that.
Yeah, and that's me communicating, I'm trying to anticipate your needs. I know that you have a lot more going on tonight than I do, so I'm going to do what I can to help with that and be of service to you. And I think that's something that people get really shitty or feel really shitty about, being of service to your partner. You know, I don't see how that's a bad thing. I guess people can... It's not a slave. You know, you're not saying that you need to...
We've said before, it's give and take. There are times when you give more and there are times when I give more. Mm-hmm. And we've said before, I don't think it's... I think it's rarely in a relationship to be 50-50. I think it's more 60-40, 70-30, maybe even 80-20.
Mm.
You know, and it depends how you see that divide. It may be that... Well, the example I gave before is when I was doing my diploma. So I was working full-time and I was doing a diploma.
And you were doing freelance work.
And I was doing freelance work, but I was giving in the sense of I was trying to bring in money and I was trying to acquire skills to get us in a better position. So I'm giving in that sense. But the day-to-day, my effort was hugely lacking. And you picked up the slack, which made it possible for me to do what I needed to. And then once that all died off, you know, I was able to...
Yeah, I do remember a conversation. I was like, do you remember how you finished that diploma 6 months ago?
Yeah, it took me
and
a
you're
while.
Not doing those freelance things anymore. And you're also still not helping around the house. And you're like, yeah, I don't actually remember what I'm supposed to do. And I was like, well, let me tell you.
Because it was
you.
Like a 2-year course. So it was. Like, it was enough time for habits to
disappear
and
habits, stuff.
And you kind of forget what's needed of you.
And you admitted to me. And that's what I thought was great. You didn't say, oh, you know, you didn't get all growled. You said, you know, I actually don't remember what I'm supposed to do. Like, this isn't to say that I was waiting on him hand and foot. He was still putting his dishes in the dishwasher, and when he had time, he'd do You know, I was doing all the cooking, all the shopping, all the cleaning, all the this and that, but he was still helping me out when he had the free time. But at the same time, I still wanted him to have downtime, because that's constant work. I then didn't want you to have to, rather than being able to put your feet up for an hour an evening, have to pitch in and do housework. At the same time, sure, I was doing a bit extra, So yeah, I was working full time and doing all the house stuff, but that I then wasn't on top of that doing freelance or a diploma. So I still had time. We probably had about the same amount of free time during that. It was just on different things. And I thought, well, if he's doing more, I can do more. It's all for the greater good.
Yeah.
If you will. Sorry, that's a Hot Fuzz reference if you don't catch that.
So I think we should keep this one short and sweet, and I think we've given some nice suggestions. But I'd be interested to hear what people think.
Yeah, and what tips you have for...
Or where it's all gone wrong and you've learned a big communication lesson because someone fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ongoing process. We are continually trying to improve ourselves with it, and it's a big one, but really there's no right or wrong answer. You have to do what works for your relationship and continue to build on that. But if you do, you know, you'll reap the benefits. You'll have a better relationship for it. We certainly do, as we've gotten better at it.
Yeah. So come and talk to us.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Yes.
Mr. Mrs. Distance.
Yes.
We put up a story up or a poll up or something to ask about this. People can get involved in. And then we also wanted to ask if people are enjoying this, if they could leave a review.
Yes, please leave a review. I think iTunes is the main one.
I think you can do it on whatever platform you use.
I haven't seen it on Spotify.
Really? iTunes you can. But, you know, whatever you're enjoying us on, if there's an option to leave a review, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
We
also still, like I mentioned earlier in this episode, we did do an episode with Sam and Jared. We are more than happy and quite eager, actually, to interview more couples. You don't have to have a product or anything like they did. That was just quite a fun thing to talk about and an interesting product. But we just want to hear other people's stories, tips for how you've made it through, or if you're still in the throes of long distance, how you're coping, and stories. We love hearing everyone's stories. So get in touch if you'd like to be a guest. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.